Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Gluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shemot. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells discusses Shemot. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be exploring a teaching from the Eish Kodesh, Rabbi Kolonimus Kalman Shapira, from his work, the Eish Kodesh. This particular drasha on Parshat Shemot was written in 1942 in the Warsaw Ghetto, long into the war at a time of terrible suffering and difficulty. And we'll see the Pizetzners, that's the Rabbi Kolonimus Kalman Shapira, the Eish Kodesh's unique perspective on working on ourselves even in the midst of tremendous difficulty. So it begins with the following verses from the Parsha. V'yomu Moshe el Elokim, mi anochi ki elech el paro. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Ki otzi et b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim, that I should come and free the Israelites from Egypt. V'yomer, and God says back to him, ki yeh imach, for I will be with you. V'zelecha ot, ki anochi shlachticha, v'otziyecha et ha'amim mitzrayim, tavdun et Elokim ala harazeh. And this will be your sign that it was I who sent you. When you brought forth the people from Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Right? This mountain, famously, the mountain of God, Har Sinai, where Moses encounters God in the burning bush. And so, the Eish Kodesh asks the question, V'lama amar mi anochi? Why did it say, who am I? To the extent that God has to reassure him, I will be with you. Right? That is, why does Moshe say, why does he have this questioning when he's already been told by God that God's going to be with him, that God's given him this charge? Why does Moshe ask this question of who am I? And then in classic Hasidic style, he changes the subject and starts on another topic, and later we'll get back to the answer to that question. Omnam ita b'minachot, Kufyud, Amar Resh Lakish, my dichtiv zot Torah la'ola, le'mincha v'chulei, kol osek b'torah k'ilu yikriv ola mincha chatat, v'asham v'chulei. It says in the Gemara, Menachot, Resh Lakish says, what does the verse mean when it says, this is the Torah for the offering of the mincha offering, etc.? What does it mean? What does it say, this is the Torah, or this is the teaching? He reads it hyperliterally as saying, this is the Torah, an offering, that is, everyone who deals in Torah, everyone who studies Torah, is as if he offered one of these offerings, a mincha offering, a sin offering, a guilt offering, etc. Ela mar Rava, but Rava says instead, Rava disagrees. Kolo osek b'Torah, eino tzarich lo ola velo mincha v'chulei. Rava says actually everyone who studies Torah doesn't even need a sacrifice. Not a mincha offering, not a sin offering, etc. Upiresh Rashi, the Talmud Torah mechaper avonotav. And Rashi explains that Talmud Torah, that learning Torah, atones for one's sins. And then the Eish Kodesh asks, "V'tzichim lavin in ken ma'osif Rava aresh lakish kivan l'drashot shnehem akavanahi she'atorah mechaperet." He says, "Well, if that's the case, well, how is Rava different from what Reish Lakish says? Reish Lakish said Talmud Torah is just like offering a sacrifice; it basically atones for a sin." And Rava says, "No, no." When you do Talmud Torah, you don't even need to offer the sacrifice. You don't need to atone for a sin. That is, Talmud Torah itself atones for the sin. And so it seems like they're saying the same thing. But obviously, there's a machloket. There must be some deeper issue. There must be some disagreement at work here. And so he continues. Al pi pashut achiluk b'nehem, rak b'mashmut ha-lashon shel drasha pasuk. So it seems on the simple level that they're just disagreeing with sort of the language of the verse. They're just disagreeing with how to read the verse. But there isn't actually any essential difference in their opinion. Aval chutz misev shalomar dekiilu ikriv olam mashma sheshaha bechait ad shevia korban. But it's possible to say that we can see a different kind of distinction here. What's the distinction? That when Reish Lakish says that it's as if one is offered a korban, the meaning is that one remains in the sin until one brings a korban, until one brings the sacrifice. Like anyone who sins and brings an offering. So one has sinned, and until one brings the offering, or until one does Talmud Torah, for instance, one stays in this place of sinfulness. One stays in this place of mistakenness. One hasn't done the work of tshuva, of returning, repenting. But Rava says, no, he doesn't even need offering. What does that mean? Mashma shebaregazo shechata miyad nechaper velo shabachet klal. That is, at the moment he sins, it immediately atones for him, and he does not stay in the sin at all. So what? What's the difference? What's the difference between whether, Talmud Torah allows us to sort of, when we get to it, it allows us to recover from our sin, and that means to atone for it, to recognize what we've done wrong, to go and do whatever we need to do to repair and make up for that mistake that we've made. That is, Talmud Torah gives us the awareness to really deal with the sin when we come to Talmud Torah. And Rava says, no, there's something stronger than that going on. When we do Talmud Torah, immediately, as soon as the mistake happens, if we're really engaged in a genuine way with Talmud Torah's claim is, that we don't even stay with the sin. Immediately we go through this process of atonement. Immediately we go through the process of tshuva, of transformation. Why? What's the difference? Kinodasha kosha shoha ish yoter b'chet ad sheshav. Afidu lo ba'davar evir al yado. Yoter mikol makom mishtaresh yoter b'chet. For it's known that the longer a person waits in their sin, without repenting, without returning, even if he doesn't do something else wrong in the meantime, still that sin becomes more rooted in the person. And it needs afterwards to work more. There's more work to come back in tshuva, to do the real work of repentance. That is, let's say we have a fight with our partner. We yell at them, we act in a bad way that's hurtful to them. That wasn't compassionate. That wasn't loving. So what he's saying here is if we see it immediately, and if immediately we say, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to speak that way, can you forgive me? Then there can be a kind of ease in that letting go, that if we repair it immediately, it doesn't sort of sit in us, it doesn't start to root in us. But if we walk away and start to stay with the sin, and we ruminate on the sin, and we think angry thoughts about what that person did and why they were wrong and why they deserve for us to yell at them that way, until we eventually come to the place of recognizing that really wasn't the proper way to speak to them, then that place of anger, that place of resistance gets more deeply rooted in ourselves, and there's deeper work then that we have to do to uproot it from ourselves. And it's the same in any way that we sort of make a mistake, in any way we end up harming people or harming ourselves, in any way we sin, when we do that and we don't recognize it, and we instead stay with it, and we allow it to sort of shahet, to wait in us, to sit in us, to dwell in us, then it roots, the Eish Kodesh is saying, that quality, that approach, more deeply in ourselves. It makes it more deeply present. And it makes it harder to uproot when we get around to the task of recognizing that we've made a mistake. But if we can get to it right away, then we can transform. And he gives us, for instance, a comparison. He says, Mashallah beged, shenafala vavravav. It's like a piece of clothing, which got a stain on it. Im mechabzim ato miyad, eino tzarich chibus rav. If you wash it immediately, so it doesn't take a tremendous amount of work. You don't have to do a tremendous amount of washing. It gets clean right away. V'imoshe haravav alav, tzarich acharka chibus rav v'shishruf v'gihut. But if you wait for a while, then afterwards, you really need to do a lot of washing, a lot of scrubbing, a lot of ironing. You really gotta work hard to get the stain out. He says, it's the same quality in us. It's an important switch and it's an important difference whether we can sort of see quite immediately that we've messed up and some transformation needs to happen, or whether it takes quite a while for us to admit our mistake, whether we stay in the place of sort of often resentment, recrimination, blame, confusion, and we can't see clearly and immediately the mistakes we've made. So what does that mean? He continues to explain. He says, V'hine, k'dei shelo yishe adam et avonotav alav, mikatan ve'ad gadol, tzarichu liot yirachet. Hayu shegam shelo ba'davar avir al yado, yichanes morcha b'levavo shelo yichate chas v'shalom. Says, in order that a person not have this dwelling, this sitting in this place of sin, whether it's a small matter or a big one, he needs to have fear of sin, yirachet. That is, that even when he is not at a time where he's making a mistake, or even when he isn't being challenged at the moment of sin, he has this fear in his heart that he will not sin. He has this constant sense this fear, this yirah of sinning. And it's actually tricky, this notion of yirah. So I want to talk about three ways here in the Pizetz, and in general, we can understand this term yirah and yirah chet and what it means. So on the one hand, we can understand fear of sin really as fear. You are scared you will sin. That scare could be a kind of fear of punishment, fear of retribution. It could be a fear of, you know, I'm scared of hurting another person. I'm scared of causing damage. I'm scared of causing harm. And that sense of wariness around how our actions can affect others, if we have that as a constant sense for us, it can stop us from acting in ways which harm others, as the Pizetzner suggests. We know, for instance, in cognitive behavioral therapy, a modern psychological technique, they speak about sort of self-punishment as a very effective means of self-transformation. If there's something that you're doing that you don't want to do, if you give yourself some punishment, say you say, every time I do this, I have to pay $5 or something, it's an effective means of getting yourself in the mode of looking out for the times when you may be caught in that situation. If we're looking out for it in advance, not just reflecting on it once it happens, then there's a possibility of not getting caught in that situation, not getting caught in that pattern of making mistakes. Another way we can think about yirah is awe, another traditional translation, awe, wonder. And so when we have yirah in that sense, sort of awe and wonder before sin, prior to sin, that this place of yirah as awe is a way of being in the world from a place of appreciation, of openness. It's a place of saying, of course I don't want to damage this precious, awesome, wondrous world that we are in. And so in that sense, when we come from that place of awe, really gratitude and appreciation for the world, then when we see the possibility of causing damage or harm, we see the possibility of causing hurt, we see the possibility of cruelty, we sort of automatically flinch back from that because we see the way it will damage this precious, wonderful world. Just as if we're admiring the preciousness and wonder of some work of art, of some lovely object, we are immediately and automatically careful in our relationship with it, not to harm it, not to knock it over, not to damage it, not to break it. So too, we can have that kind of relationship with the world, a relationship, oh, this is such a wondrous place. Of course I'm going to have this prior thought, this mindfulness of how can I not spoil this world? How can I not damage it? And the third way we can think about yirah is as discernment, as clear seeing, as making boundaries. This is a Kabbalistic reading of yirah, which is connected to gvura. It's another word for gvura, or also pachad. Fear, another word for gvura. The sfira, which is about discernment, which is about division, which is about wise seeing. And when we talk about yirah chet in that sense, what we're talking about is simply a wise discernment, which says, oh, can I keep a very clear and present sense of how my next action, whatever it is going to affect myself and the world around me? Oh, this action is going to cause harm. This action is going to cause damage. So, of course, from that place of mindfulness, of discernment, of clear seeing, this fear of sin, which is a sense of, can I discern what's going to be beneficial and what's going to be harmful in this next moment? It's that sense of taking on this basic intention of, I don't want to cause harm in the world. And we have that intention at every moment. Even if it's not at a time when we're being particularly tempted to cause harm, then we start to acquire this sort of discerning relationship to the world. And we stop falling into our patterns of damaging action as easily. We stop falling into them because we start to see that pattern as it arises. The way we respond, perhaps with blame or anger or selfishness. Then maybe we take things which aren't theirs or don't show our full appreciation and gratitude to others. Whatever it is, whatever the ways in which that we're causing damage in some ways or messing up or not being our best selves, we start to acquire the discerning awareness which allows us to see it. And so the Pizetzner goes on to explain. He says, because there's a person who knows, for instance, the bitterness of punishment from all sin, right? This is the first kind of yirah chet. And there's a greater person, that he sees the sin itself as bad, right? This is the person at this place of awe, wonder. He sees the world is this beautiful thing, and of course, acting this way is going to cause damage. It itself is a bad thing. I'm not just worried about punishment. I'm worried about the way in which this is going to affect the world. And it's not just talking about sort of a clear sin. Rakam kol devar neged ritzono. Just anything that is against the will of God. Anything where I'm not acting where I'm not being my best self, where I'm not really fulfilling my mission on this world of bringing healing to this world, of doing tikkun olam. But this person still doesn't find in himself this sin, and he doesn't have this sort of fear, this prior discernment in his heart of the sin happening. That is, he knows sin itself is bad. He knows he shouldn't do it. But he isn't yet at the stage of having the prior discernment, the prior awe, which stops him from getting to that place of sin. And his heart is stubborn and hard in saying, no, I'm good and my deeds are good. And we can all recognize that. We mess up at times and yet we don't want to see it because it challenges our sense of our own self. It challenges our sense of I'm a person who always does the right thing, but actually sometimes we don't do the right thing. And it's hard to acknowledge that has actually happened at this time. But there's a person, and this is what we were talking about before, who has this fear of sin, or it has this fear or awe or wise discernment in relationship to sin. Always, whatever situation he's now. And his heart is broken within him. And who knows if even at this moment I might rebel against God. That is, he has this constant awareness and discernment of how is his action going to be received? How is his action going to affect the world? And when his heart is soft, it's important, this imagery in the possessor of the softened heart. When his heart is soft and he has this fear, then he is constantly finding himself in himself these lacks. And it's important, I think, the way the possessor talks about this. This fear is not... It's not the hardness of fear. It's not the fear, really, ultimately, of the fear of punishment. It's this soft-heartedness of vulnerability and sensitivity and compassion towards the world. This soft-heartedness of awe and wonder and discernment, which allows us to see that we are not yet perfected, that there are places in us which are still unperfected, which are still unrealized, and from those places we cause damage sometimes, and we want to be continually aware of those places and those patterns within ourselves. Hachiluk b'neim, and the difference between these two characters, he says, hu she'rashon af she'yodei et ra'at ha'chet, mikom mekom b'kribo lo ichnis et ha'ira. That the first one, even though he knows that sin is bad, he hasn't actually entered this awareness into himself. He doesn't know it internally. Ve'en lipo mifarches she'lo ichaten, his heart does not tremble that he should not sin. But the other one, the second one, has really entered this awe, fear, discernment into his heart. And his body, mind, his heart have softened and tremble. They shake at this aspect of fear that he will not sin. That they have this soft, trembling place of vulnerability and compassion inside them. That is what in compassion is. It's the sort of soft trembling of the heart in response to the suffering of others. And the person who has developed this fear of sin, this yirat chet, is the person who has this softened heart, mind, and body in relation to this world. This really quite exquisite vulnerability, this quivering of the heart, this softening of the heart in its relationship to the world, which says, I want to be constantly aware of the way in which my actions may be affecting myself and others. And a person like that, miyad shav v'lo shoheh v'lo mishteresh behem, he immediately returns, he does tshuva when he makes a mistake. He doesn't delay, and he doesn't root himself in them. He doesn't allow them to root themselves in him. V'kivan shek dima t'yira chet v'hiorei tshuva od kodem achet. And because he preceded his mistake, his sin, with this fear, this awareness of sin, and with thoughts of transformation, of tshuva, returning to him best self, before he made this mistake. Therefore, every time he does make a mistake, because it happens to everybody, it happens to all of us, tshuva, repentance, return, the tikkun for that sin, comes quickly. And so, the Pizetzner is talking about our capacity to develop really a sensitivity to sin, a sensitivity to getting things wrong. Is a sensitivity to chet comes from the root of missing the mark. And so, A chet is when we go wrong. We do something that's unskillful. We do something that's harmful. That's really the root meaning of what we're talking about. And our task here, our role, is to develop this soft-hearted presence, this soft-hearted discernment and clarity about what is going to go wrong, what is going to miss the mark, what is going to cause harm in the world. And when we work on developing that prior to our mistakes, although it's of course always after our mistakes as well, it helps us to recognize those mistakes more quickly and to not have them root in ourselves, to not have them turn into resentment, anger, blame, and confusion, but instead to allow immediately, or at least quickly, for us to come to the place of apologizing, repairing, and moving on. And then he says something very interesting. He says, ובשביל זה גם אתה, שכל ראש לחולי וכל לבב דווי, ודומה לאדם שאין לדבר מענייני חסידות בתשובה מהירה זו או זו. And he says, this is relevant also now. Even at this right horrible time they're experiencing in the Warsaw Ghetto, when every head is in sickness, and every heart grieves, and it seems to a person that there's no room for this stuff about chasidut and piety and tshuva and repentance and fear of sin, etc., etc., right? I mean, what does this have to do with us now? Ki daimanu imna mor b'mitzvot ma'asiyot pshuto, because it's enough if we even manage to do simple mitzvot. Even if we just do simple mitzvot, that's enough. To'ehu, but that's a mistake. That's a mistake. Even in this time of tremendous suffering and difficulty, it's a mistake to think, it's enough if I just, you know, whatever, eat kosher food, put on tefillin. I don't need to be thinking about this question of really how I'm being my best self. Aleph, ki tzrichim gam ata la'avod b'chol minei avodah. Says first, because even in this situation, we need to do the work we have to do, sort of our spiritual work and transformation, even in this place. V'abet, and the second one, why? Adarava, on the contrary. Misho lech b'machshavot yirei yira kazo, af shebashat ma'aseh do'eg al atzmo, shema kach, v'shema kach, v'reh b'kirbo pagam zeh v'zeh. One who goes on this path of having these thoughts of fear, of awe, of wide discernment, that at the time when he acts, he worries if maybe he's going to cause harm this way, or maybe he's going to harm this way, and he sees in himself various faults or difficulties. Mikol makom acharei zmanei machshava ke'elu, margish hitromamut v'gam simcha. He says, after he has these thoughts, what he actually feels is exaltedness and joy. He feels exaltedness and joy. Mipnei shiyira torahi, because it is a pure awe, it is a pure fear, it is a pure discernment. Min noam yiratecha shomim bizman ya'achsof. The kind of pleasantness of divine awe, of divine fear, of divine discernment, of your fear. As we say in the Zemer, in the tune, in the song we sing on Shabbat, Yachsov. Yira ila hamiromemet et ha'ish. This supernal yira, this supernal discernment, this heavenly discernment or awe or fear, which actually elevates the person. It's interesting, this claim that actually this sense of soft-hearted, quivering sensitivity to the nature of our life, which says, I'm not just going to worry about things after they happen, but I have this constant sense of sort of mindful awareness, this soft compassion awareness, which is asking prior to everything even, is this wise? Is this beneficial? And so therefore allows me, when I do mess up, to see quite quickly where I've gone wrong. We might think that doing that would be sort of anxiety prone, which would be quite harsh and severe, which made us quite grim and gray. But what the Bezetzner Rebbe says here is that it's quite the opposite, actually. When we have this soft-hearted relationship, and it's important, that soft-heartedness, we actually experience elevation and joy. And part of it, I think, is the joy of a blameless heart. You might ask yourself, how much do you suffer from worries, from thoughts of how you may have messed up, how you may have done something wrong, or of the ways in which we protect ourselves from acknowledging of the ways in which we may have messed up or done something wrong. We protect ourselves from, you know, yelling at somebody, by watching TV, by drinking, by getting caught up in sex or desire, by getting caught up in fantasy, by gossiping with our neighbors. All these ways we avoid that sort of painful nagging at our heart, that painful nagging at our soul. And you can just reflect for a moment, how much joy is there in feeling clear and pure and blameless, in being clear about acting rightly. How much joy is there when we feel we really apologize to somebody, when we feel very clear about the way we're acting in the world, and our heart feels light, our heart feels joyous, our heart feels open. It's a sense of acting rightly, which is not a sense of kind of anger or self-justification. We know that sense of like, I'm right, I'm justifying myself. That actually doesn't feel light and joyous. But it's a lightness and clearness which says, oh, I'm really acting well to the best of my ability. I'm really apologizing when I do things wrong. I'm really acting in ways, even when it's scary and feels threatening and unclear, that feel like the best way for me to act in this situation. And in that clarity and purity, we really see this yira ila, this heavenly yira, this heavenly discernment, this heavenly awe, this heavenly fear. And there's a real place there of joy, of blamelessness, of clarity. And so the Pesetzner says, sort of in reference to our original question, that that is the place of Moshe saying mi ani, Moshe's sense of doubt, of yira, of fear, of awe, of feeling the unclarity of his own place. That in that place of saying sort of mi ani, am I right for this? Is this the right place for me here? Who am I to take on this next task? Is this the right task of me? This place of self-doubt, which is not a kind of self-denigration, but which is a genuine simply asking, a genuine saying of, I don't know, as the Pesetzner says, it's connected to the name of Eyeh, sort of I will be, that is, we don't know what's happening right now, we just know that what will be. It itself, the Pesetzner says, is a form of avodah, a form of worship, a form of self-worth. And so his invitation is, from this verse in Shemot, the invitation of the model of Moshe, he says, is to try to cultivate in our sense that sense of watchfulness, of mindfulness, and of uncertainty. An uncertainty which is not a kind of, you know, the tightness of confusion, but is the open-heartedness of saying, oh, I don't know. I never know. I never fully know. I can sort of know to the best of my abilities, and I always know that there's a possibility that I'm wrong, that I'm mistaken, that things are not the way I'm seeing them. That I don't know entirely how this action is going to turn out, and so I'm going to cultivate this sense of yira, of watchfulness, of discernment, of awe and wonder at the world, of fear of how my actions are going to affect myself and others. And when I can do that, not from a place of harshness and severity, but from this place of richuch halev, as the Pesetzner talks about, of soft-heartedness, of the trembling, right, the piyuchusei, that the trembling or quivering of the heart in relation to the world, of that place of really genuine vulnerability and genuine compassion, then I can actually bring tremendous healing to the world. I can bring the joy and exaltedness of clarity and blamelessness to myself. I can bring the joy of repair, of love, of compassion, of the joy of an apology to another, and the joy of constantly repairing and becoming once again. And once again, my best self.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisels. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.